You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
If you like what you hear, please follow the Upstate Golf Guys on all podcast platforms. And follow the Upstate Golf Guys podcast on Instagram and on Facebook to hear our latest episodes.
For this young Cinderella, he's come out of nowhere. He's got about 350 yards left. He's going to hit about a 500, I expect. Don't you think? Oh, he got all of that one.
Welcome to another episode of the Upstate Golf Guys podcast, where 518 golfs the Cape and everything in between. Speaking of the Cape, me and Roger, we're just talking about the Cape. I got Roger here with me today. What's up, Rog?
What's up? Excited not about much. This trip, man. I'm excited. I don't know if everybody in my household's excited, but I'm excited about it.
I know. I heard. You had to dip your toes in the water again the other night and
Yeah, we're good. It's gonna work out just fine. It's early in the year, and we're gonna be a lot of golf this year. So,
when you're making the big bucks with all this content we're gonna create, she'll appreciate that.
I hope so, man. It's gonna be a good time.
We have 57 days until the 19th, April 19th. So, I don't know if anybody heard earlier in one of the earlier episodes. I was talking. We're renting a condo at Ocean's Edge, and it's one of the nicest golf courses on the Cape. We can't play it unless you do a play and stay package. So I kind of priced it out, and it's $2,700 for the two nights, but that's with unlimited golf. And unlimited means we're going to play twice on Saturday and once on Sunday, and that's with stay, and it's $350 a man. So when you break it down, it's really not that bad.
A lot of golf.
Because it's actually about $80 to $100 around anyways if you were playing out there. So if you played for 2 days even, you're looking at $200. So now you get your stay for the extra $150, and you're playing one of the nicest courses on the Cape.
Yep.
It's just amazing. I mean, I've played the course multiple times before they changed the rules out there. So it's been years, but I'm really looking forward to it. That's Ocean Edge in Brewster, Massachusetts. You're going to love it, brother.
Okay.
Absolutely.
That's where I go. That's where I stay when I go out there with the family is Brewster. Dennisport.
Which is right next to Brewster.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I wanted to talk about that a little bit on this episode, man. The course, the trip. We're gonna head out Friday morning, I think. Mm-hmm. We're gonna after you get out of work around 11, 12, we're gonna hit the road.
I'll probably go in early that day. We'll figure something out.
Yeah, no, it's fine. It's because when we go out, it's on Thursday night. We usually go out at we don't get there till 11 p.m. anyway, so there's no difference. And I wanted to hit one of the courses that's a little further away from us on the way in.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get one of the courses marked off our map, you know.
Gotcha.
So maybe we'll play one of the 9-hole courses on the way in, even, because we're going to be playing a lot of golf Saturday and Sunday.
There is a lot of 9-hole courses out there, right?
There is. It's kind of the only thing that could fit on a lot of the areas out there. It's so saturated.
When you first told me there was 50 courses out there, and my experience out there, I'm like, where? Because
no way.
I seen maybe a handful in my 10 years of going out there. So,
well, I would say, I don't know. I mean, I can name half a dozen nine-hole courses off the top of my head, you know.
Yeah.
But it's, there's a lot of, I mean, there's plenty of full 18s, trust me when I tell you. I mean,
what's the most challenging thing about the captains?
The captains?
That's where we're going, right?
No, we're playing we're playing Ocean Edge.
Ocean Edge. Sorry, I thought
Ocean Edge. The captains is the third, they have the two 18s, and that's okay. That's where we were gonna go. That's why I'm confused. Before I thought of this this idea of the Ocean Edge. The hardest thing about Ocean Edge, it's the narrow fairways, and there's no room to miss on either side. Each hole is its own thing. It's not like Freer Park where there's open fairways on each side, you know.
Yep.
You can't miss. You got to get off the tee. They are short. They're short par fours, even from the tips. Even from the tips, they're short par fours. But it's hitting it in bounds. And then another thing that's really hard. I was going to go through the course with you. Almost every hole, every single hole, green is protected by bunkers. I think there's maybe one hole on the course that's not protected by bunkers, and there's fairway bunkers all over the course.
Oh, beautiful.
Yeah, so it's so fun. It's, I mean, the greens just roll and roll. There are these undulated rolly, you know, it's a Jack Nicklaus design. I think a lot of his courses are the same with the way the greens roll.
Yeah, what I like about it is the fact that we are playing it the three times. The first time I'm going to go out there, I'm going to learn the course, try to figure it out. So by that Saturday afternoon, I really want to come out there and shoot myself a good round.
You will too. That's the thing. This course brings the best out of you. It does. I've shot the best rounds of my life here, because when you hit a good drive and you watch the ball bounce on the fairway, you just want to do it again. The ball just bounces and bounces. It's like you see on TV.
Right. Yeah.
When you catch that divot, you want to do it again. It's just like, it's such a good feel. I mean, and then watching that ball roll on those greens, it's like the greens are so true. It's you guys are in for such a treat. That's why I'm telling everybody, you have to be in on this.
Yeah, sure.
It's just an incredible, incredible course, and the fact we're playing it three times is awesome. I'll go down real quick with you. The 18 holes. I have them right here for you.
All right, see what you got.
All right, you want it? So hole one's ranked 11th on the hardest to easiest. So it's right in the middle of the pack. It's a 357 yard par four. It's their road hole. It's got a road going on the right, there's a fairway bunker about 200 yards out, so you should carry that. I carry that all day. And then the green is pretty easy for this course, coming off of the tough greens. They start you off pretty easy on one. I wouldn't say they're not hilly like Freer Parks. It's just the undulation of them, you know. It's a lot of this.
Yeah, you know? So like my thing with Freer, like I feel so comfortable going other places after when I leave Freer putting. Like I'm so much more confident in my putting because of how difficult the Freer is. Like I really over the past couple of years, like I really started reading the greens good.
Yeah,
especially there, and that makes a huge difference. Like when you play with certain people, like my guy Hammer and Hank, I watch him putt, and he'll hit a putt where I'm looking at the line like, dude, what are you looking at? But he'll manage to get it to the hole, and he's probably the best putter we got in the pitch putt and putt. So I started watching like his lines and how he's reading, like playing with him for the past couple of years really locked me up reading these greens. But when I go somewhere else, I'm excited to make it a little bit easier. No matter what, wherever I go, it's going to be easier than Freer Park.
The greens are giant too here at Ocean Edge. They're giant. I mean, just aim for the middle of the green. I mean, you could go pin hunting, but the balls, you don't know, especially the first round you're playing, you don't know which way these greens are going to roll. So just put it in the middle of the green and hope for the best. No doubt. But then hole two is ranked the seventh hardest. They get you right in the tough holes. It's 412 yard par four, dogleg right. Green protected by bunkers. Third hole is ranked, this is one of the easiest holes. They're right about this, the 17th, second easiest hole in the course, par three. Only thing, it's 181-yard par three, protected by one bunker in the front. So you got to carry that bunker, depending where the flag stick is.
Yep.
That's always fun. Four is a par five, the first par five, ranked third hardest. 548-yard dog leg left. You can't be long right because you'll be like 600 yards away from the hole. There's a giant fairway bunker, like 150 yards, the length of the fairway going up the whole left side of this par five. Rightfully so, should be the third hardest. The fifth hole is a 380-yard par four, ranked ninth hardest. Fairly short par four, dog leg left. Some greenside bunkers there as well. Sixth hole, you're looking at a really nice short par four. It's ranked 13th, so it's fifth easiest, sixth easiest on the course. It's I've actually scored on this hole because it's such a short par four, 334-yard par four. So, I mean, you put it out there, you have a nice drive, dude. You're you're a gap wedge in. There's, again, some greenside bunkers, one on the left, one on the right. But if you go for it, nothing in front. Just it's pretty, like I said, I think it should be ranked like 17, second easiest. It's a real easy hole for this course. Like I said, for a 334-yard par four, just put it out there. You could even put a 7-iron out there, dude, and you're a 9-iron in. You know what I mean?
If I'm hitting that 7-iron 215, then yeah.
Yeah, you're solid, dude. I mean, again, it's 334 yards, but it's narrow. Like I said, or there's no missing right or left.
Right.
They're short holes, but they're narrow. So they're scoreable holes, but keep it on the fairway, and you're going to score.
Yep.
Seven is the fifth hardest because it's a longer par four. It's 440 yards, plays real long. You got to carry some fescue off the tee. There's some bunkers up by the green as well. That was seven. The eighth hole is ranked 15th, fourth easiest hole on the course. It's a par three. This is where our condo is. I don't know if I would say this is the fourth easiest. You're hitting over a hazard. You got a two-tier green. I told you about this green. I was watching guys putt from my condo. The flag was on the lower tier, and anybody that was on the upper tier, like, the tier is so steep, dude. Like, it was funny. It was fun watching him because, I mean, I was actually sitting down on the stoop and, you know, golf talk. I'd say, oh, have fun with this one, and then busting chops a little bit. They said, oh, I'll give it my best ride. And, you know, literally it rode right off the green.
Like seven at free, where you're putting if you're up on top.
Oh, yeah, and ain't stopping it. If you hit, the only way you're stopping it is if you hit the pin, literally. Like, forget about it. So that's, I don't know how that's ranked 15. Maybe because it's a par three, but you are hitting it over hazard. There's a greenside bunker, short left. If you hit it long, you're in some fescue. So it's, I don't know. I guess on this course, there's not many easy holes. So I guess it's I guess it could be right, you know?
Right.
But then I call this hole the gauntlet, the ninth. This is where our old condo was. Dude, I go 7-iron, 7-iron to the hazard, seriously, because it's such a narrow fairway. I am not carrying the hazard even on a 270-yard drive on my second shot. Uh-huh. I'm not doing it. I'm not even going to try it. This is – I don't care what Bert Kreischer says about – laying up, dude, but ain't gonna do it. I mean, not somebody.
Let's talk
like
about that real quick. I mean, you got 13,000 views on that reel you made, dude. That's insane, dude.
I was not expecting that, brother. Mikey showed me the original video yesterday of Bert talking, telling the story about not laying up. He said, "I don't golf for that. I golf for the stories. Nobody ever tells a story about laying up."
Right.
So, you know, I said, "You know what? Let me put a little reel to that." So let me just. I love putting reels together.
You said he's seen it, right?
Yeah, he's seen the original story I posted. Yes, yes, absolutely. He didn't, I don't know if he saw the actual reel. I can't see that, but I could see that when I tagged him in the story. Yes,
yeah, because I tagged him in the comments telling him to come play golf with the.
That'd be amazing,
boys,
huh?
Man.
That'd be amazing. I mean, but yeah, no. Cool. And then all of a sudden this morning, I'm getting notifications on my phone, like left and right, dude. I'm texting you guys. I'm like, something's going on here. Then all of a sudden this morning, I got a notification like your reel has 2,000 views. Congratulations. And I'm like, what? So then it's the end of the day at work, and it's got like 7,000 views. I'm like, what's going on here? Then all of a sudden 10,000 views, and that's when I text you guys. I said, something's going on here.
You caught the algorithm, man.
Yeah, caught in that algorithm, man. It's all it takes. It's pretty awesome. And then leading to from that, I said, you know what? I said, a lot of people seeing these reels. I had 518 Golf the Cape as my title name, and yes, we are. That is going to be our highlights of this podcast, talking about our Cape trips. You know, still going to do restaurant reviews, but there's just so much golf to talk about. We are the Upstate Golf Guys, and we're the Upstate Golf Guys planning on trying to golf all 50 courses on the Cape. We're still keeping that plan.
Yeah.
But I just wanted to change things up a little bit with our title. So I changed the title to the Upstate Golf Guys podcast instead of 518 Golf the Cape.
Just it so makes people sense, man. It makes sense. That's who you guys are. You know,
you're
going to be going to the Cape and all that, but who you right. guys are, you're Upstate Golf Guys.
So I left the 518 Golf the Cape in the underneath part. So if people still search that, they'll find me. And then I have it in the bio, you know, 518 to the Cape. It's still quest of 50.
Yeah.
Still part of the plan. But yeah, dude, that's.
I don't have your merch on, but all your merch usually says Upstate Golf Guys, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. So yeah. I still got the t-shirts that says 518 to the Cape, but that's fine. You know, you live and you learn a little bit, but like I said, I'm still doing the Cape thing. That's not.
Yeah. Out of the picture. Structuring a little bit differently. That's all.
Right. I want people to see that we're a podcast when they are viewing my reels, because I plan on doing a ton of reels, you know, challenge holes this summer when we're out golfing. Yep. Doing a lot of video content, and when people come across those reels and they see 518 Golf's the Cape, they don't know we're a podcast unless they actually go into our bio and do some research on us. But how exactly. many people do that when you're scrolling? When I'm scrolling reels, I just scroll to the next reel.
If it's not something I'm interested in, I'm just keeping it moving. So
right, but if I see now, if someone sees, hey, oh wow, they're a podcast. I like golf. I like podcasts. Let me check these guys out. Yep. And I'll tell you what, I've gotten a lot more follows on Instagram today than I have in the past, you know, 2 weeks combined. I really have. So
yeah, it makes it easier to find. You establish a name for yourself. We'll talk about a little later what we got planned for locally. What we're planning on doing locally, it's just going to really help you up here opposed to out on the Cape. Yeah, it's good. You're going to get great exposure out on the Cape with some of the stuff you do, but you also want to keep it home base too, to get the recognition around here.
And that's why, and Mike had the idea of, you know, 518 to the Cape, because we're 518, and you know, like I love how he shouts it out at the end, you know, 518 to the Cape, you know, yep. It's always. But we're 518 is our home. We're Upstate Golf Guys. And you know, if we go down to Myrtle Beach, when we go down to South Carolina, I want to do video content of the Upstate Golf Guys. We're not going to be in Cape Cod. We're going to be in you know, Hilton Head. Absolutely. And I think it's just the better route to take.
I think we need to make a trip out, because I'm going to have Pat on from Don't Get Greedy. He's going to come on Monday with me. I think we should make a trip out to Syracuse and get around in with him one day. And even just make it a day trip. Go play in the morning, head back in the afternoon. That's an easy two-hour drive.
Green Lakes. Dude, look it up. It's beautiful. I looked up. I did some research. Actually, they have a really nice campsite out there, too. Maybe do an overnight camp trip with the families.
Bring the fam. Yeah, no doubt.
You know?
I actually have family out there. So I have a cousin out there. He went to school out there and ended up staying out there. So bring the family out, link up with him, be a good time.
Yeah, man. All right, let me run through this back nine real quick, and then we'll talk about our plans for Troy.
Yes,
yeah, they start getting a little easy on you after 8 and 9, after the gauntlet. The 10 is a pretty basic, straightforward par 4, 415 yard, ranked 12th, hardest. Like I said, pretty easy. Two fairway bunkers, but you should carry those. 11's 438-yard par 4. That's the fourth hardest hole in the course, and rightfully so. It just plays really long, looks really long. Narrow fairway, fescue on both sides, brutal rolling green. Like, it's not a two-tier green, but it's just everyone – like, a lot of the green just have – it's hard to explain. It's undulation. That's what it's undulated. It's just – it's I mean, it's, you know, breaks left to right.
I just learned that word last year.
Yeah, it breaks left to right, straightens out, and then breaks right again. It's like, you know what I mean? It's like that, dude. You're like, it's like, it ain't just breaking left to right. Like, it's, you know, the long putts you're really going to have to read. So I just remember that 11th green is ridiculous. And then you got 12, which is another nice short par four, 358-yard par four. I like the 350-yard par fours, dude. They have a lot of those on this course because you could, like I said, break out your 6 or 7 iron off the tee and be okay.
And still give yourself an opportunity to score and make up some strokes for some of those more difficult holes.
And you just want to be on the fairway. And like I said, it's a short, these short holes, when you're on the fairway, you get credited for being, for hitting a good drive.
Right.
Like I said, you get rewarded. I meant to say, you get rewarded for having a good drive. The rough is brutal.
Have you played have you played out in Binghamton at like Enjoy or Conklin?
I played Conklin.
Similar to that?
Way harder than Conklin. Okay. But I think nicer. I think Ocean Edge is the nicest course I've ever played on.
I'm saying like the rough, because that rough at Conklin was pretty thick.
It was brutal. Yeah, I don't remember it exactly. Okay. One thing funny about this rough,
This is the don't drive in the rough.
Yeah, don't drive in the. They have Rangers. Why can't I think tonight, Roger? They got Rangers that ride around there. They don't just sit around at this course. They ride around and they remind you not to leave your cart on the rough there. You got to keep it on the fairway or on the cart path. Nice. You see little areas on the cart path, you know, where they turn off and little areas to go onto the fairway. Of course, there's times where you can't help it, but just don't leave it sitting on the rough. That's a no-no. Driving across the rough is one thing, but they don't want you to mat that rough down. Let me finish up here real quick. We got, so 13 is a 400-yard par four. There's no bunkers on that hole. That was I wanted. That's what I pointed out on that hole. It's the only hole there's no bunkers, dogleg right, and it's still ranked the hardest hole, eighth hardest hole. So it's just a tough green, but there's no bunkers. 14, 378-yard par four. That's over water. That's an interesting layout. It has three fairway bunkers that start at like the 150 marker, and they go diagonal. So it starts at like the 150 to 200 yard. It's like three fairway bunkers. So it's best to play it left at like the shortest bunker and just carry that and play on the left side of the fairway and then 15 is a nice short, another one of those nice short par fours I was telling you, but that's ranked third easiest, 16th hardest hole, straight on, like another nice short one. There's a little small fairway bunker that, I mean, if you're unlucky, you could hit it, you know, but it's one of those tiny ones. There's one greenside bunker, but other than that, the green is really easy. 16 is ranked the easiest hole on the course. I mean, it's a par three, 200-yard par three.
Okay.
It's protected by a couple deep bunkers, but other than that, it's pretty straightforward. 17 was the second hardest. I got a frog in my throat. I need water.
You got that dab lung.
Yeah, I do. 17 is the second hardest, longest hole on the course. Par five. Another road hole. I've hit it over the road on this hole, but with a bad slice. You got fairway bunkers, you got fescue, like you got like a hazard that comes out. It's just like an area of fescue halfway. It's probably 200 yards out. You got to carry that. If you get in that, you're a mess. It's just a really tough, rightfully so. Should be definitely the second hardest on the course after the gauntlet ninth hole I told you about earlier.
Yep.
It's funny, actually, all three par fives on this course are ranked 1, 2, and 3 hardest. You ain't scoring on these par fives.
Right.
You ain't usually, you're looking to score on the par fives.
Right.
You're not scoring. You want to get out of.
Well, of course, like Freer, you're going to score. Those par fives you're meant to score. Like the 11, you should be getting a birdie on. Yep. 15, you should be getting a birdie on. 7, yeah,
you want to get out of these holes with a bogey, and you'll be happy. Gotcha. I'm not just exaggerating. Okay. Especially nine. I mean, if you didn't do a double par max, you could come out of the ninth hole with like a 15, 16. You really could.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then 18, I don't know. I'm just, it's ranked 10th. So right in the middle of the pack for difficulty. I'm biased on this hole. I've birdied it twice.
This is what number?
18.
Okay.
You don't score on this course much, but I've actually birdied it twice. It's a dogleg right. The green is elevated. It's a nice short one. Well, it's 428 yards, but it's a dogleg right. If you just put it out to the 150 marker, it's just such an easy shot in. And the green is very easy for this course. So that's where you're gonna score, I think, on 18, and it was I think 13. Like 13 and then 5, I think, was the 380 yard par 4, which is a fairly short par 4 I was talking about. There's a couple of them that, like I said, you stay on the fairway on these and you're gonna get rewarded because there's a lot of them are so short. A lot of them are just wedge
in. I'm excited about it. I really am. I'm excited to get. I'm really just excited to swing a golf club outside again.
Dude, isn't New York the most depressing, dark, cold, miserable place?
Like, if it wasn't for family, I wouldn't be here.
Me too. Family and jobs.
Family's the only thing that's really keeping me here. Wasn't for that, be in Carolina, Florida, somewhere, California at this rate. With all the people I'm meeting from out there and connections I'm getting through the podcast and so.
Yeah, man. It's just there's no bargain here. That's for sure. There's no bargain. It's one of the most expensive states to live in. You go outside in the wintertime, your face hurts. You can't golf. It's just miserable.
Cold.
But let's talk about the idea that you thought of a couple weeks ago, Roger.
So with us being local and especially like you had a councilman reach out to you. With your logo and promoting your stuff, and I have a real good relationship with the golf course, and as you do, I think it would be a really good idea for us to do something locally. I'd like to give back. I want to do something, you know, not only to get our name out, but like let's do something to raise money and then like have a good time doing it. So I honestly was thinking, just doing a little brainstorming, no details in play or anything like that, but working something out with Josh up at the course, working out with something with Consummate Casey to get some kind of tournament going. I'd like to do like a back to school thing. So like Troy's, it's the inner city. So there's not a lot of money running around Troy. So you give some of these kids the opportunity that they might not have, book bags and notebooks and just stupid stuff like that. You know, you bring a notebook and some pencils. Here's a $10 raffle ticket. You know what I mean? Something like that. And all of a sudden these kids are going to school with full book bags and everything else, you know, just something we can do that. We're not in it for, that's the thing, like people, I want people to know, like me and you especially, we're not in this for the money at all. Like we're not looking to make money off of this. We do this for fun. Like we're literally, it's a Thursday night at 10 o'clock. We're out here bullshit. We do it for fun. So if we can do something to give back and actually generate something, I think it'd be a great idea.
Well, yeah, that'd be amazing, man. I mean, we're both really just getting into this and if we could just do an annual tournament every year and build it and go bigger every year and grow that way. That's an awesome idea. I love that. I mean, we do a tournament. Here's an idea too. It would go to the kids. But this would really only go to one kid, depending on how much you make. You could space it out. But we do with our tournament for the John Maurizio Memorial Fund. We do a scholarship fund to a student that a deserving student that is picked on award night. And we go and we actually my cousin John's daughter gives out the award and does a little speech. Nice. But I mean that's another, you know, just there's a lot of different
see, that's cool because you're reaching one kid, but like if we do it this way, we're reaching so many more kids.
You know? Oh yeah, and that's what I mean. There's definitely different roads you could take to help the kids out. I love that idea. And I think with what we could do, not downplaying the John Maurizio Memorial, but I think we could go bigger. I just think with who we all know in Troy.
That's exactly what it is, man. Between me and you, like I play in a golf league, like the guys on Sunday, like we play Sunday. So the guys from the loop in front of us, there's former councilmen in there. There's city workers in there. there's all Troy guys in there. So they would jump on that. And like I said, we're not doing it to make money. So we'll do like, we're not going to have steak and lobster. You know, it ain't going to be a surf and turf dinner. It's going to be pizza and wings because that's not what it's about. It's about giving back. You know, it's not about, oh, we got the food sucks, this and that. Because you hear that a lot at tournaments and this and that. But I'd rather get really cool raffle prizes for people to donate the raffle tickets or bring in things for the kids, book bags, whatever you can do kind of thing, you know, just something to give back. And
yeah, so, I know a lot of from the tournament that I've been running the last few years, I know a lot of good games that we could play that raise some money. We've been brainstorming ideas the past few years. So I got some ideas, man. I think it's a great idea. I think there's some, it's golf is a great way to do a benefit. I mean, there's no better way, I think, honestly. But you were saying
like a Friday, we start to get some businesses involved, and then they sponsor it. We hook them up with the tee times or, you know, the foursome. Boom, we're good to go. And then you're getting the name out through businesses that people that probably don't play for your park are popping out now. Wow, this place, I haven't been here in 5 years. This place is in amazing shape. All of a sudden, feeling more tee times for them. So it helps everybody.
Yeah, I think I'm going to message him, Tom, tomorrow. And
yeah, because I already spoke to Josh. We just got to pretty much iron out a date. I was going to do something for something else up there, but the guy I talked to didn't want to do it, so totally understandable. So I think this would be a way to really just give back to the community. And Troy's love like it. It's really like the new regime taking over Troy, I think, is really going to hopefully turn it around somewhat. So let's support him.
We should reach out to Carmella as well. Maybe let her know our plans. I got connections
to Carmella through Jim Gulley in my golf league, man. So we got.
Yeah, I'm really good friends with Frankie Marola. He's a Troy guy. My dad's real good friends with him. So we could reach. I have.
Look at me. We have the connections throughout Troy that we can make something happen. We got businesses. Like I work for a beer distributor. I know. I'm 99% sure if we told him we were donating to kids, he would jump on board. A couple other buddies who work for big corporate companies around here would definitely jump in.
For sure.
I don't see it as out of the possibility at all, man. I think it's a really good idea and something that could happen. I'm thinking, middle of August, middle to end of August kind of thing.
Yeah, right before school. Yeah, kick off of school. I love it. Yeah, I like that idea a lot, Roger. Let's shoot for that. And then another thing I wanted to mention is I think I'm gonna join that league on Fridays with you guys. We were talking about that earlier. You said it's pretty competitive. I always find myself wanting to play on a Friday afternoon on the way home from work. And I call up and he said, leagues are out. So
it's tough. That's the thing, like with the job I have now where I go in at 4 a.m., but I'm out at noon. I can get a tee time, no problem. Now, if I had a regular job, like you going in 7, getting out at 3, you're scrambling, looking to maybe play 9 somewhere. That sucks. So like the benefit of me, it sucks getting up at 3 o'clock in the morning going to work, but I have my whole day ahead of me. I get out there to play golf. Now with the league, it's broken down to 3 different flights. It's a mix of guys. I mean, you got pitch, putt, and puff guys. You got Fairway. You got JR. You got Hank. Myself, I think Bub's going to try to play this year. So that's more than a third or 2/3 of the group. And the competitive wise, like I think you would be good in the B flight, to be honest with you. C flight is more like the older guys hitting from the senior tees and stuff like that. If you want the more competitive nature, the B flight would be where I'd say to go. And you get strokes, so it's not like you're going to get your ass kicked every week. I mean, you're not going to win every week, but the way we break it down, it's a points format and everything else.
Oh, man, I'd be doing it. The competitive part is cool, but like I said, I'm always looking out to get to the end of the week. It's Friday afternoon, and I'm always looking to get out to get a quick 9, and no better way than to kind of force myself to go on a Friday.
Run it by Mikey too, man. Because if you get Mikey involved, so then it's me, you, Mikey, and JR. Boom, we go out as the foursome and we film content all night.
That'd be amazing. So Mikey threw out the idea of hiring somebody to video us this year. We got to try to look into that. Like get one of the 16, 17 year old kids that like the car kids, throw them 30, 40 bucks just to follow us around.
I think we find one of these young kids who's messing with the cameras and stuff already, who's filming a basketball game or doing highlight reels for their friends in high school kind of thing, and pay him. Come follow, hop in the cart, buddy, follow. We'll pay for your cart to drive around and just film us for
that. And if we all pull in 10 bucks a man or something around or something or whatever, I'll throw that in just to get some.
Yeah, you even throw 5 bucks, kid making 40 bucks for a couple hours. We don't even need him there the whole time, just a couple hours.
Front nine.
Yeah,
front nine.
Quick.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. I love that idea, man. Dude, it can't come fast enough this spring.
We're almost there, man. We really are.
We have so many plants. I feel like this winter is dragging. We have not had a bad winter is the thing. It's like a tease. It's right there. It's right at our fingertips. Really is. We've even been out golfing a couple times. It's just not
there's
the same.
There's not too many days where I put a winter jacket on this winter, man. It's really not.
No.
I throw a hoodie and a vest on and out I go.
Not having to shovel. How nice is that?
Dude. You know? Not once this year did I pick up the shovel.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really nice, man. Love it. All right, brother. Well, I just wanted to get a quick episode in and figured we're both chilling tonight. I was itching to get it in after.
Bro, it's like my fourth podcast this week.
After getting called home last night with yours, I said I gotta get something on. I said,
wait, we did one what Monday night? We did one.
Yeah, we did one Monday night.
No, Tuesday.
That was Tuesday night.
Yeah, so I did one. I did Monday. I did the Legends Golf Guy. Tuesday, I was with you. Wednesday morning, I did
the
Butterfly Divot Tool. And then I had mine last night in here. So just cranking them out, man. It's fun. There's no rule that you can't.
Is there a rule that you can't do? You know, there's no rule.
Nah, man.
We have fun doing it, and we have content to talk about. I mean, it's amazing that we're getting episodes out in the wintertime when we're not even golfing. Think about the content we're going to get out when we're out there golfing and all the good events are on TV. After, I think once the Masters is on, it's downhill from there.
Yep, agreed. I mean,
we'll be golfing. There will be good golf on TV. We'll be heading out to the Cape. And it'll be a wrap, man.
We'll be cranking sooner than later, man, for sure.
Absolutely, sure. Brother. Absolutely, yo, brother. All right, well,
congratulations on that video, man. Going 12, 13K.
It's almost what's viral. Viral's not till a million, right? Million views.
I don't even know. I mean, for us, it, that's viral, bro.
It's on pace.
I had one video of Fairway on YouTube get up to like 6,500, 6,800, something like that. And it was literally him just like duffing a shot. Well, I didn't put no memes to it, no hashtags, nothing. All of a sudden it took off. I'm looking the same thing. I'm looking at my phone, ding, ding, ding. I'm like, who the hell's, what is this? And I'm looking, I'm like, yo, Fairway, you're like famous. Like, hey, man, you know, hey, man.
So, that's great, yeah. Dude. Yeah, no, it's cool. It's cool. And that's the excitement you get out of this. Isn't that funny? I mean, like I said, like, I ain't making money because of that. It's like 10,000 people viewed this video.
Yep.
Like, holy shit, up to 12,000. I'll go look on it now after I get off with you. It might be 13,000.
Yeah, man, it's crazy. Just, you know, we're taking, like, I had a conversation on an interview a few weeks ago. You just take opportunities and do the best what you can with them. And that's what we're doing. We're taking risks. We're reaching out to guests. I mean, you got a big guest coming up on Tuesday.
Huge.
Yeah.
Huge. Yeah, New Nine Golf, Brandon. He's actually really growing very fast.
His whole brand is growing.
Is growing so fast. I mean, I think he got like 10,000 followers in like the last 2 weeks, dude. Like he's starting a new golf community, which is really cool. He's a scratch golfer and he does lessons, and he's the second
most viewed lesson video on YouTube.
Yes. Yep. Yeah. Yep. You saw that. Yep. It's huge. Crazy. He is so. What was I gonna say about him? He's doing the video series. He's gonna have you do your swing and send a swing, and he's basically gonna coach you. He said you need somebody to look at your swing. He said people don't realize that. He said, you know, or at least video it yourself.
Yeah.
He said, you know, it's so important to watch your swing or have somebody watching you.
I hate watching it.
I know, but he said, you know, so that's what he's going to do. You're going to send him his swing. He's saying you had to fill out a form. We're going to talk a little bit about it on Tuesday, his new little golf community. So.
Yeah, save it for Tuesday.
Absolutely. And then he's still trying to get on Augusta. And I mean, he's just in the last couple of videos alone, he's met Gary Woodland, talked to him.
This guy's taking risks, reaching out to people. What's gonna happen? He's gonna be on Augusta playing golf within
110%. Yep,
it's gonna happen for him. One of these pros are gonna be like, buddy, let's go. Like, come on, you did enough. Let's do it.
Absolutely. All right, let's wrap things up, Roger. Thanks for hopping on with me tonight.
No problem, buddy.
We'll catch you next time. Thank you for listening to the Upstate Golf Guys podcast, where 518 Goss the Cape.
Golf again.
itself has its own energy, or life force, if you will. Its natural environment is in the home. So why don't you send him home? His bags are packed. He's got his airplane.